I am telling you, it was absolutely not the glass transition. The physics
Yeah.
just do not lie on this. Those C24 plastic side caps, they were warping by like 2.5 millimeters entirely because of gravity not melting.
Look, I mean, you can argue thermodynamics all day, but the business reality.
They bake the soft touch paint at 60 degrees Celsius. The melting point for that ABS plastic is what? Roughly 105 degrees, so it didn't turn to taffy. It just sat there on these flat wire racks, hot and unsupported, and literally sagged under its own weight.
Okay, sure. But to you listening to us right now, the distinction between melting and sagging just doesn't matter when you're staring down a total cosmetic yield wipeout on the factory floor.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a console carrying a 9,995 MSRP with a ridiculously delicate 51.8% gross margin. If the sides look like warped bananas, you simply cannot ship the thing.
Right, exactly, which is why Eric Norris's fix, it just blew my mind. Instead of fighting the vendor or, you know, buying expensive new molds, he files Method A, Eco-1 Tool 740. He just lets gravity do the work.
Yeah, you just hung them vertically, right?
Right, yeah. He suspended the parts on a vertical hang fixture, so the cooling plastic just pulled itself straight. It brought the variance down below 0.5 millimeters with $0 in new tooling spend.
And fixing cosmetic yield means literally nothing if the unit becomes a warranty nightmare in the field. Which brings us to the headphone jack, because that was just a massive ticking time bomb. Historical data from the identical jack on the Digi-0002 showed a 4.8% field failure rate.
Oh, man, yeah.
If you project that out to the planned C24 volumes, you are instantly sitting on 870 warranty liabilities.
And the mechanical catastrophe of that initial design, I mean a flush mount jack, if that broke, you were looking at a 2-hour teardown. You'd have to remove the entire bottom pan and actually yank out 6 different channel faders just to reach the broken plug.
Which is why Eric's intervention past tooling control off was just so ruthless. He essentially forced a redesign, executing EQO 12993 to create this recessed trap door that mounted the jack directly to the steel frame.
But wait, changing a chassis skeleton that late in the game, that is literally like ripping out a house's foundation after the concrete is already poured. How does changing the metal frame actually help?
It dropped the mean time to repair down to under 10 minutes. A tech just removes a single bottom pan nut and the jack is accessible. But, you know, securing a 10-minute repair like that requires just a tyrannical grip on the entire spatial layout.
Exactly.
So Eric enforced this geometric firewall. He issued over 50 binding data control drawing releases. Basically, he rejected any part with a variance over 0.5 millimeter. I mean, the Micpre 8 DCD alone hit revision 12.
Which paid off massively on the physical side. By forcing that strict spatial discipline, they slid 19 complex PCB assemblies into this low-profile chassis, and they got a 100% mechanical fit on the very first physical build, first try. But then Quanta, the primary vendor, completely backs out of the top panel.
Right, a total no-bid. Because of all this special snowflake syndrome custom hardware, their automated welders literally could not handle the density of 350 actuators in one space.
Yeah.
Eric had to execute a dual-source manual weld bridge with mass precision just to keep it alive.
And the physical toll that took was insane. I mean, Eric fully ruptures his Achilles tendon mid-fabrication, completely snaps it, and the exact night he leaves the hospital, he is on some terrible hotel Wi-Fi transmitting the top panel weld stud files just to protect their November 20th, 2007 first customer ship date.
And to actually hit that date, he had to pull off one last massive save. He re-architected the whole system from a 4U height down to 3U,
yeah.
Right? He stripped the internal power supply out into an external Skynet brick to kill the EMI.
Oh, right. The electrical interference.
Yeah, and that maintained the fanless acoustic spec. Plus, when UL certification bottlenecked, he hand-packed the first 100 units himself in Menlo Park just to bypass the delay.
It goes right back to the warped plastic. You just cannot negotiate with physics. So, for you listening, I'll leave you with this. If a solo architect used 50-plus unyielding geometric contracts to force a 100% first build fit across 19 PCBs...
Yeah.
How much hidden failure is baked into modern agile hardware cycles that rely on iterative physical guesswork instead of upfront mechanical discipline?